You're listening to the Crypto Report exclusively on the Daily Stormer.
What some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
And it's like, well, if going out on a date with a guy makes me a slut, then that's just what I'm
going
to be.
I don't think going out on a date makes you a slut, but having sex with different men makes you a slut.
Well, what does it make you if you have sex with different women?
A slut maker. Men don't want sluts as wives and mothers of their children.
Who cares? You can't live your life for no man. It's not about men. Who cares about men? If I sat here and lived my life for a man, I would be miserable.
But you do understand that a man would not want a slut to be the mother of his children.
That's right? Not true, because
not real men.
What is a real man? Jesse, what is a real man? You?
Yes.
Welcome to the Crypto Report. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Report. This is a semi-special Crypto Report because it is the 75th episode of Crypto Report. Golf clap. That's right, we are three lustrums or something.
It's our Diamond Jubilee.
Oh, that's what it would be, isn't it? Right. Diamond Jubilee. This is our Diamond Jubilee. We have a lot of things to talk about. We've got the entire, at least for the first half for sure, we've got the entire Wrecking Crew. We've got the Hate Farmer.
Hello, all you filthy goyim. I fucking hate women.
Yeah, Hate Farmer's mad, and we're going to take full advantage of that this week. And we've got Dwight Tuber.
He's back. Again, with his voice and his microphone.
Dwight Tuber is back with his voice and his microphone. Dwight Tuber's not really mad. Dwight Tuber's always a positive guy.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
But I bet you're mad at them bitches too, huh?
I'm tired of these bitches,
but
I am.
Fucking right. Cunts. Cunting up everything they touch and get involved with. Fucking cunts.
Right. Oh, we'll get
the
to
the problem that. Is my dick's never tired of them.
No, know? Right, right.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like Jesse Lee Peterson says, women, they're the dealers of sex, and men are the addicts.
That's true.
Well said.
Well, you know, that's a strange thing, you know. I believe it was on this week's TKR Live in the Spurred Chat, somebody asked me how many women I had bedded. And after the obligatory, you mean including your mother, my answer was, not enough. And, like, we had Drake on as a guest, and, like, he totally didn't get what I was saying. He was like, what do you mean? I've had a lot. And I'm like, dude, I'm not talking about if I've had a lot or I've had a few. I'm telling you it ain't enough. That's the number, isn't that, you know.
What do you mean?
I'm not dead, so it ain't enough. And he's like, well, I've had enough. I'm like, so you mean you don't want any more? No, I didn't say that.
I'm feeling it. I have my fill.
I'm through. Yeah. I've totally quit on these bitches. When they get the sex dolls to where they're like really truly androids and such, it's gonna be a hard time for these bitches because
party's gonna be over. That's gonna be it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they make them like, you know, that's what the one thing I always said was I thought was, you know, the thing that's so wrong about the Terminator movies is if you had like this Skynet that could make these cybernetic organisms, you wouldn't have to send them out to kill anybody. You would make them all really hot, like the one in Terminator 3, and just send them all out to be girlfriends for all the dudes. And like, there wouldn't be any combat necessary. You just program good personalities into them that don't fuck everybody over and cheat on them and nag. And in one generation, there would be no more humans.
Wasn't that a movie where this guy had like a relationship with like a computer and people were all like at work saying, "Oh, it's nice to finally meet you," to his computer wife? It's supposed to be like the ultimate progressive. Remember that movie?
I think it was Joaquin Phoenix?
Right, yeah, I was in shock watching this shit. And this guy was like trying to like jerk off to the voice or something, and the voice even left him, bro. The voice dumped his ass. Oh. I was like, yeah, see, dude?
Well, the closest thing I've seen to what you might get from a robot girlfriend was in the latest Blade Runner 20, whatever it was, the hot Cuban computer waifu that the agent what's his name had, or detective what's his name,
K.
Yeah,
yeah, that was his name.
She was just a hologram. So, like, they'd have to hire a hooker, and she would project herself on top of the hologram.
Oh, that's sloppy, though.
That's real sloppy. Yeah.
basically caveman shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they totally wrecked him by erasing her personality. But
I don't know what to make of that movie because, there's all this imagery. The giant women, like all these powerful women, first of all. There's like the assassin chick who's kind of running the show. Then Kay's boss is a woman. Sean Young. Whatever, the chick from the Princess Bride. And there's like this imagery of him like walking through the ruins of Las Vegas, and there are these giant women, like sculptures or whatever, and he's like walking between their legs, and then he sticks his hand in the hive, and I don't know what to make about that movie, like what the message is, but I'll take what I.
I'm not sure that it overall has a message. I mean, other than just being like for the time it came out, a really cool sci-fi movie. It was one of the first things I'd watched in a while that I just thoroughly enjoyed, and even though it had some really stupid parts in it, like the obligatory "let's bring Harrison Ford into it" and all that, right. That was kind of dumb.
That was the weakest part of the movie.
Yeah, and that was a very weak part of the movie. But you know, aside from that, the whole Blade Runner thing. White Tuber said earlier off the air that he liked Blade Runner 3 best because it had Jessica Biel in it. We had to explain to him that that's Blade. As anybody who is a true movie connoisseur knows, Blade's superpower was that he was a nigger. That's what made him the Daywalker, is he had all that high melanins and shit.
He got that high M.
Yeah, you know, that's why, you know, I'm surprised that the blacks on black Twitter don't bring that up more often, because that's always like the first thing that they want to point out when they're explaining to you how superior the black race is. They're like, "Well, you know, you act like you ain't some kind of monkey, but you ain't got no melanins up in your skin, and you burns when you go out in the sun, you weak ass cracker."
And, cave beast motherfucker.
Oh, God. How did we
I hear it a lot.
Yeah. How did we get off on all this? Well, anyway, let's get off on something else. Not literally. Let's move on to something else, I should say. There's been a lot of fuckery going on over at YouTube lately.
You don't say.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
YouTube be fucking around with people. But here's an interesting article from The Hill. YouTube investigating conservative commentator Steven Crowder. Now, conservative is kind of a weak word for Crowder because, as everyone knows, Steven Crowder is like the... he has personally gassed 6 million Jews himself. he's way too hardcore for us here.
He hasn't gassed Ben Shapiro yet. he saved the best for last.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro is his Shabbos Jew. No, I guess you would call it his Sunday Jew. Like Ben Shapiro. Like he goes and turns on the lights and opens the refrigerator and everything all day for Ben Shapiro. And in return, Ben Shapiro fries chicken and makes macaroni salad and things for him while he's gone to church Sunday morning. YouTube is investigating conservative commentator Steven Crowder after Vox host Carlos Maza accused him of harassment and making derogatory comments about his ethnicity and sexuality. Let me explain to the audience. Carlos Maza's ethnicity and sexuality is he's a wetback faggot. he's a spicy cocksucker.
Yikes.
And so YouTube responded to Maza's tweet thread detailing his allegations, saying that it was looking into it further. Oh, and by the way, Carlos Maza's Twitter handle is at gay wonk. G-A-Y-W-O-N-K. He's a gay wonk. says, thanks so much for outlining all of this. We're looking into it further. Sending you a DM now. The company also confirmed to The Hill that it was investigating in response to Maza's thread, but declined to comment further. Maza, the host of Vox Media's literary series, Strike Through, accused Crowder on Twitter this week of, quote, repeated overt attacks on my sexual orientation and ethnicity. He said that the pundit has called him an anchor baby and a lispy queer. He also said that Crowder's videos have caused him to be the target of ridiculous harassment, adding that it makes life sort of miserable.
Fucking kill yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to end up doing it anyway.
That's right. Go to Mexico and do it so we don't have to spend any money cleaning up your apartment or whatever. The Vox host told his followers to flag Crowder's videos and said he did not believe YouTube would take a stand against the commentator. He accused the company of not caring about its LGBT creators.
They don't care at all.
Yeah.
No, YouTube is totally white nationalist. They're totally
right,
homophobic.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Well, let's hear what, let's hear some examples of this intolerant behavior, and then we'll get into some of the gay wonks tweets.
Before we get to the video, with our favorite lispy sprite from Vox. It's ridiculous? It's bonkers? You're being given a free pass as a crappy writer because you're gay.
That center line on his little queer graph there. What is
well, now the graph is queer?
It is violence, filth.
Okay, so the little queer can eat his chips all nonchalantly. It's code for rape, Mr. Queer eating chips on the Vox channel.
Chip, but you can eat just one. Like dicks.
This is what Mr. Gay Vox wants to do. Mr. Lispy Queer from Vox.
What were you holding, Gay Latino from Vox?
Even his hand movement in fast motion is gay. Now we're here with a short-haired angry lesbian on Skype. And cable news, cable news bitching. Two gay guys sitting there eating a banana. We get the symbolism there. The truth is hiding in a closet 2 weeks later, probably along to his next Pride Parade outfit. This guy on the gay semi-Latino Vox. Oh, okay, so really there's an angry little queer. All right, I can't deal with this sprite anymore. Okay, he just sashays across without, like, just, oh, the gay Vox sprite is wrong! Now he could be a tranny, Your Honor! But how many lispy, angry sprites and Vox sashay across your screen and try and tell you otherwise? Or you, by the way, the gay Mexican guy?
The gay Latino V-neck.
Gay Mexican. Or Mexican gay guy used to work. Mexican gay Latino there at Vox. Oh, gay Latino from Vox. The token Vox gay atheist sprite with... Surprisingly flaccid chest, considering how thin he is. It is. It's very bizarre to me. Ad hominem, yes, but it was an addendum to fat.
I don't see the problem.
I mean, does he not identify as gay and as Mexican?
Yes.
Right. And is not the Q in LGBTQ queer?
Right.
Right.
And the other thing is, I mean, this Carlos Maza, you know, in his work and his life, his entire raison d'etre is that he is gay and Latino. And, you know, he hates white people and he wants to change America and all that. He wants everyone butt fucking in the street and all of our children to be turned trans and queer and all that stuff. And I mean, look, if you're out there and you're like, hey, everybody, I'm gay and I'm Latino and here I am, deal with it and all that, then expect a little fucking pushback from people who disagree with you and who don't think that shit should be out there like that.
But yeah, if you're a public figure,
yeah,
people are going to comment on you.
Yeah.
Get fucked, you fucking faggot.
I mean, I just countless times I've been attacked for my ethnicity and sexual orientation. I mean, nobody gets attacked for their ethnicity and sexual orientation more than straight white males.
Indeed, it's true.
And for their religion, straight white Christian males. I mean, that's the one, and it's like there's nothing we can do about it. And I don't care. That's the thing. I mean, I do care that that's like the one thing that you can be that the gloves are totally off. I care about that.
You know, but we can handle that shit, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So that's why we're going to try to silence anyone else.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
attack me for it.
We're out here. We're advocating for, you know, our own thing and what we think is right. And the thing is, you know, allegedly we're the hateful ones and we're, you know, constantly attacking people for this and that, when the fact of the matter is we're the ones who are on defense. You know, anybody who's a patriotic American who believes in, you know, the country that they grew up in, the country that was founded for them and all that, we're on the defense constantly. We're the ones under attack. And these people are open about the fact that we're the ones under attack. You know,
and it's approved, too.
Yeah, absolutely it's approved.
That's why it's hateful to say stop white genocide. It's like, right. How dare you not want to get fucking genocided?
No, yeah. I mean, the only way that you can be tolerant as a straight white Christian male in the West today is to openly advocate for your own genocide. And the only way to be super tolerant is to kill yourself, I guess. You know, there are some shades of in between. I mean, I guess, you know, you start off with advocating for your own genocide because your own history is so bad. And then I guess the next thing you can do is like, prep the black bull to bang your wife. then following that, you can like take all the money out of the bank, go get a few. You know, mortgage your house, get all the payday loans you can possibly get, give all the money to John Hagee to take and give to Israel. And then after that, I guess it's suicide.
That's approved.
That's all approved.
That's approved, sir.
But to say, you know, that, hey, you know, all this crap that you talk, all this crap that we've been taught since the 60s about how, oh, everybody's equal. And it's not right to attack anybody for any attribute about themselves that they don't have any control over. In other words, their race, their religion, their sexual identity, their gender, whatever like that. Yeah, that applies to everybody, including straight white Christian males. That's like the one, that is the line you do not cross, motherfucker, in clown world.
Yeah, and you can't even not take pick a side. You can't just be like, I don't care, you know, I'm like apolitical, I just want to live my life. They got like the silence is violence shtick.
Right.
You know, you have to be an active participant in your own dissolution. Otherwise, you know, that just proves what a hateful bigot you are.
Yeah, yeah. And they find ways to draw everybody into that shit. That, you know, if you live in some city and, you know, it turns out that maybe some black chimped out in some retail establishment, and you're totally apolitical, and you're totally aracial. You don't give a damn about that. You just want some of what they're selling inside for whatever reason. You go up there, and people are telling you, don't go in there. They were mean to the blacks. And you're like, look, I don't know. I don't care. I need this shit, and I'm going in there and get it. I mean, they'll try to dox you and ruin your life and all like that because you're evil. Yeah, you can't.
And it's kind of funny. You see these boomers all the time gaining trouble for like simple little slip-ups because they still think they're playing by the old rules. You know, the old rules that people used to get along a lot better with, it seemed like, where you just respect other races. You know, you don't trash someone for their race, right? So white people shouldn't be trashed either. But that's goalposts have been moved, and they're playing by new rules, and they only find out when they get caught.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And they're still pushing, and they're clapping to all this shit, and they think it's cute, but they don't really realize the new rules that we have here now.
Well, yeah. It's the virtue signal. You know, the virtue signal has really been like this giant poison pill that really started with the boomers because, like, right. You know, the boomers' parents... they didn't really have to deal with much of this stuff. They didn't have to grow up in a society where they were starting to implement things like desegregation busing. Of the schools and busing and all that. The boomers did. And, like, the older boomers didn't really have to deal with that stuff either. But, you know, they all eventually, they would have to work with at least the token black guy in the office, and they would be, as time went on through the 70s and the 80s and all, they, at every function they'd go to, they would, whether it was for work or some social thing, they were always having to welcome in some fucking minority to prove they weren't racist and all, and these people would just fall all over themselves to virtue signal. I mean, and it's a thing that I saw a lot. It was funny how a lot of these boomers, you know, I could sit around and hang out with them every weekend or whatever, and they would sit there and they would talk shit about, oh, these niggers, these dirty niggers, we should just all join the Klan and hang every one of them. They're not even human and all this crap. And then some black guy would come around, and the subject of race wouldn't even come up, and they'd just start falling all over themselves to come up with some reason to bring it up. And say, you know, I just don't understand why people are racist. I mean, you're no different than me, man. We're all same. And I'd just be sitting there looking at him like, motherfucker. And, you know, as soon as whoever the black person that they were being so patronizing towards so that they could show how wonderful they are would leave, I'd be like, you chicken shit son of a bitch. I mean, you are... Something in your bones was just scared to death of that nigger. You were afraid that somehow he could read your mind and know the way you talk about black people when there's no black people around. But you wanted him to think that, like, you're this Mr. Super Progressive and here, fuck my daughter.
Right.
Dude, and, like, I think blacks even see through that. You know, they're not very smart, but they got that kind of, like, animal cunning. And they know that they're just being patronized.
Well, how could you not, you know, especially when they just keep on and keep on about it? I mean, I think it's obvious to even people with low IQ that if you don't care, then why are you bringing it up? Nobody's right. Brought it up. But I mean,
the kind of people that say, oh, to a black person, oh, you speak so well.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I'm not racist. Look, I told the black he speaks fucking well.
Yeah, like Joe Biden, you know, when Obama became the appointee, he was like, who could be better? He's articulate and he's clean.
Right. He's clean, too.
Yeah. He bathes. He knows what soap is for.
He bathes, yeah.
He doesn't smell like the people that I used to have working around the house. I mean, boy, did they have some body odor. I used to tell them, you darkies, you need to learn what soap and water is for.
They would weaponize that in high school wrestling. I don't know if you guys have heard. They would weaponize it. It was very tough.
Well, you shouldn't have been having to wrestle against them anyway.
I shouldn't. Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Right. I mean, that was one of the funny things when Daniel Carver used to go on Howard Stern. Once I heard him, the KKK guy, Daniel Carver. Once I heard Howard Stern was trying to think, or Robin one, they were trying to think up reasons that they could throw at him about how black people were either equal or better than white people. And they were like, well, look at all the Olympic sprinters we have. They're all they're all black. Like the fastest running people are all black. And he said, yeah, a horse will outrun a man too, but he ain't human. But
my daughter can still fuck a horse, sir.
Yeah, God, Crowder was really going off. But here are the here are Carlos Maza's. Here's his tweet stream that he did about this. He says, starts off with a big lie. So I have pretty thick skin when it comes to online harassment. No, apparently not. But something has been really bothering me since I started working at Vox. Steven Crowder had been making video after video debunking Strike Through. That's his show. Every single video has included repeated overt attacks on my sexual orientation and ethnicity. Here's a sample, and that's what I just played. I've been called an anchor baby, a lippy queer, a Mexican, etc. These videos get millions of views.
How dare you call me a Mexican? That's so offensive.
Yeah. These videos get millions of views on YouTube. Every time one gets posted, I wake up to a wall of homophobic, racist abuse on Instagram and Twitter. Last year, I got doxxed, and it scared the fuck out of me. My phone was bombarded with hundreds of texts at the exact same time. And he posts a screenshot of, like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different phone numbers that I guess are all his, and they say, debate Steven Crowder. That's the message. Debate Steven Crowder. That is truly threatening. These videos...
pretty hateful.
Yeah. And now, remember, he's a professional writer. Now, check out these writing skills he's got. I'm going to make sure and read this as articulately as possible. These videos makes me a target of ridiculous harassment. And it makes life sort of miserable. I waste a lot of time blocking abusive Crowder fanboys, and this shit derails your mental health. No, dude, your mental health got derailed when you started swallowing cum.
Straight to the fucking dome.
That being said, I'm not mad at Crowder. There will always be monsters in the world. I'm fucking pissed at YouTube, which claims to support its LGBT creators and has explicit policies against harassment and bullying. And he fucking posts screenshots of YouTube TOS. This has been going on for years, and I've tried to flag this shit on several occasions. But YouTube is never going to actually enforce its policies because Crowder has 3 million YouTube subscribers, and enforcing their rules would get them accused on any conservative bias. Which is all to say, I work my fucking ass off to create smart, thorough, engaging content for YouTube, a company that claims to give a shit about LGBT creators. And it's miserable to have that same company helping facilitate a truly mind-melting amount of direct harassment. My family sees this shit. Yeah, well, I wonder if it bothers your Mexican family worse that the Crowder makes fun of you being a faggot or the fact that you swallow cum.
Right, exactly.
I've had
his life choices brought this to him.
I've had to explain to my much younger sister what the fuck a Steven Crowder is, and ask my sibling. You know, he's not mad at Crowder, but listen now. He says, I've had to explain to my younger sister what the fuck a Steven Crowder is, and ask my siblings not to respond. It's exhausting. I wish YouTube gave enough of a shit to stop its platform from becoming a fucking playground for assholes. This isn't about silencing conservatives. I don't give a flying fuck if conservatives on YouTube disagree with me. But by refusing to enforce its anti-harassment policy, YouTube is helping incredibly powerful cyberbullies organize and target people they disagree with. Anyway, if you want to help, I guess you can go to this dude's videos and flag them. Oh, in one fucking tweet, he says, by refusing to enforce its anti-harassment policy, YouTube is helping incredibly powerful cyberbullies organize and target people they disagree with.
Then, no, without organize and talk against this dude that I disagree with.
Yeah. Anyway, if you want to help, I guess you can go to the dude's videos and flag them. But YouTube isn't going to do anything, and it just goes on and on and on, dude. I mean, this fucking this thread. I'm just going down and down and down.
It's time for trains.
Put that motherfucker Mazda on it. Yeah. You'd think that dude would be happy about a playground full of assholes. It sounds like a fucking dream vacation for him.
He would enjoy the ride for sure. Yeah, that part.
Yeah. But, I mean...
Get a train. It's not the first train I've ridden.
Well, in you know, and like he says, Crowder's got over 3 million subs. And I didn't hear anything that's like harassment or whatever. I mean, if what Crowder was doing was harassment, then anything's harassment. You know, I mean, if I just, like, say, oh, hate farmer. Oh, hate farmer. You naughty Nazi. You bad white supremacist. You know, I just put on a funny voice to kind of make fun of you or whatever. And that's like targeted harassment.
But here's the thing. Can he make fun of him for fucking pussy and stuff? You know, if he wants to? Just to even things up, right?
Right.
Make fun of him for that.
I guess, but the thing is, you know, this is the unspoken part of all this. Yeah, they would let him get by with making fun of Crowder banging pussy because, A, it's normal. So it's not funny. It's not anything anybody's going to be ashamed of. If this fucker doesn't have some part of him that's ashamed of this shit, then it shouldn't matter that Crowder points out that he takes it up the ass. And Crowder doesn't.
All Crowder's really making fun of me for doing something.
All he's really done is just held up a mirror to the dude. Yeah, and that's offensive.
Right. Yeah. True.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he calls him Vox's, what do you call them? Their Latino Sprite. Their Lispy Sprite. And the dude is, I mean, like I said, every fiber of his being is all about, I want to project to the world what a Latino queer atheist I am. You know? And hey, man, fine. You got your platform there to do it. Don't fucking put yourself out there if you can't take somebody, you know, taking the piss out of you a little bit. And that's the thing that, you know, all these minorities.
The Latinx community, wherever they call themselves now, Latinx, is not very tolerant.
It's Latinx.
Latinx. Yeah. They're not very tolerant themselves of homosexuality.
Well, except the ones that are queer.
Yeah, I mean, in the last shitload of bean people that crossed the border, they had to have like an armed escort for like the half dozen queers that were there.
Yeah, I went to an all-Spanish school before, man, and like that place, there's no homosexuality there. I mean, nah.
Well,
tolerated at least.
It wasn't tolerated.
Well, they're probably in the closet more. And
right.
Here's the strange thing about all that. A lot of that has to do with what generation they are. A lot of everything about not only Latinos, but it's especially pronounced in like Mexicans, Guatemalans, whatever. You know, a lot of people will be like, oh, they're just coming here to work. They're hard workers. They're not holding a grudge against anybody or whatever. And to a great extent, that's not true, but to a great extent it is. But that's the first generation. That's the immigrants who came here for whatever. And it used to be a lot truer than it is now, you know, that for many years now, this is a bunch of people who've been propagandized in their home countries to hate America, hate white people, and somehow feel entitled to come here and live off our benefits. But the second generation, by which I mean the first generation that's born here, I mean, they are a real nightmare. They take on all the super leftist stuff. You know, they're down for all the programs that are against whitey and against, you know, American, normal, Christian, hetero society and all that stuff. And they're a bigger problem than blacks ever were. The very first generation that's born here and grows up here because they get...
Are you saying that they're well assimilated then?
Yeah. I guess that's what you... Fully. I guess that's how you'd put it, yeah. But, I mean, you should see them. One of the first really fun ops that a local Stormer Book Club did was, I guess it was back in 2018 sometime, that they were at some local community college and that's part of the Dallas County Community College system. These Latino activists were holding these workshops where they had all these lawyers and various organizations, and they were putting out the call for everybody who was basically an illegal to rush in there, and they were going to have all these lawyers sitting there, and they were going to help work all these people through their DACA applications and get them down and get these things rushed through and processed to get as many of these people claiming that they qualified for DACA before Trump ended the program. And our guys went down there, and they put up several flyers on the front of the building, and these activists just went nuts. And it's like, these are first generation, well, you know, some of them are claiming to be DACA, so like they were brought here as little kids, and they were the most leftist scumbag, Antifa loving, white people hating. I mean, you know, they were the types that, like, their hatred of white people was not only so strong, but it was so normalized in the life they lived, the communities that they existed in, that they had no idea how to even temper it so that it didn't look like exactly what it was to normal people. And the country is full of these people. You know, that's why, one of the reasons why, like we were talking about on the live stream this week, there are so many people who are not even like radical rightists or pro-white or whatever, just like run-of-the-mill centrists who are talking about, man, do we even have a couple of years before we either completely balkanize or, you know, we have some kind of civil war all across the country? Because, you know, you've got these two sides and nobody agrees on anything. And, like, you've got the left that totally wants to destroy everything about America. We've talked about this before. You cannot find anyone who is for open borders that you can't, that if you talk to them for 10 minutes and you know what questions to ask, that you can't draw it right out of them. That they hate America. They hate the history of America. If they're white, they hate their own people. If they're not white, they hate white people. And they have some kind of giant grievance in their own minds against our country and our race and all that, and they feel entitled to destroy it all if that means that every last white person has to be destroyed.
Yeah, they're like accelerationists on the left.
Yeah. And, you know,
I remember...
Go ahead.
It was 2005 or 2006 in Seattle. There was like 250,000 Beaners that marched through the streets of Seattle and tore it up. And I'll dox myself, but I was part of the resistance to that. And, dude, I saw some fucked up stuff. And they were all holding signs in Spanish and English saying, like, fuck America. And there was just like hundreds and hundreds of Mexican flags. And then there were like a few people that had like these small American flags on a little wooden pole there. And you could tell, I noticed that at the beginning of the march, there were people handing those out so that it wouldn't just be 100% Mexican flags.
Right. Yeah. And like, excuse me, the one of the really iconic images from all that kind of stuff over the last few years, and I can't remember if these were at DACA protests or if these were at protests against the wall, but there's this picture, and I have a copy of it. I'll make sure and put it somewhere in the article with this show, where you've got this little Mexican kid who, he's too young to possibly be able to read, you know. I mean, he's not 13 or 14. He's like 4 or 5. You know, Mexicans can't read English till they're in like 10th grade. But he's holding up this great old big sign that somebody's handed to him that says, "Make America Brown Again." I mean, how much more open incitement can you possibly have? You are directly attacking white people. You are saying that white people don't deserve this country. White people have to go. And there's no place for white people to go.
Right.
So where is it you're saying that you're going to send them? The grave?
Disappear.
You're sending them to the grave, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is kind of going on because, you know, the birth rates and stuff like that. But I mean, it's just crazy. It's extremely crazy. One of the big problems is the majority of the what's considered by the mainstream to be the right in America is all these white people who refuse to acknowledge that this is going on. I mean, yeah, you've got the far right like us who recognizes these things and pays attention to these things, but the vast majority of people who vote GOP or whatever, you know, they fall all over themselves to not ever appear to be anything but blind when it comes to race. And, you know, they'll bend over backwards and grab their ankles to prove they're not racist. I mean, and they've been doing it forever. There's an Ann Coulter article that just came out. And, you know, as much as I like Ann Coulter and all that, I've never been one of these people who's like, oh, you know, she's our... I mean, I would meme it.
A fucking goddess.
She's a god. She's our queen and all that.
Queen Anne.
Yeah. Here it is. It's, the title, biographer, MLK watched and laughed during rape of follower. And this is great stuff to bring up in the cultural and, you know, racial war of attrition that we've got going on. But Anne doesn't use it to try to be like, okay, let's just get rid of this bullshit black icon. She's like, let's replace him with somebody who actually did a whole lot more damage to the country than he did, or at least for white people. Let me see if I can skip around in this enough to make it so that I don't have to do a bunch of reading and bore the listeners. But the actual title of the article is Ann Coulter, My Thurgood Marshall Plan for Replacing MLK Day. Over Memorial Day weekend, some shocking news broke about the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. David Garrow, Pulitzer Prize-winning King biographer, came across some new details about the FBI's secret bugs of King in the National Archives. During one orgy in King's room of the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C., according to FBI summaries of the tapes, he watched and laughed as one of his ministers raped a parishioner. Another time, he jokingly referred to himself as the head of the International Association for the Advancement of Pussy Eaters. There's more, but you get the gist. With every statue in the country of Robert E. Lee being hauled off and sold for scrap, first, I would like to say that I oppose the removal of MLK's statue from the Washington Mall. Well, that's retarded. Why would you oppose
it? Of course she does.
Yeah. But the latest revelations also present me with a fantastic opportunity to renew my proposal that we replace Martin Luther King Day with Thurgood Marshall Day. I say this knowing full well that black America has been waiting with wild anticipation for what this white girl has to say about a national hot blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it just boils down to DR3 and mabased black.
Well, let's get a couple of the facts. In addition to the fact that Marshall worked closely with J. Edgar Hoover to expel communists from the NAACP while King's organization was bristling with them, Marshall redeemed black civil rights the American way by winning his battles in court. How the fuck is that the American way? to go to court and get people's freedom of association and their property rights and all revoked by a fucking court that is making unconstitutional rulings. How is that the American way? She says, that's how it's supposed to be in a country of laws. And they said, Martin Luther King Jr., though an inspiring orator, was heir to the French Revolution using street protests, blah, blah, blah. And she goes on some more about, oh, and she attacks the shit out of Bull Connor. She calls him insane. He's a vile racist backed by the state segregationist governor, George Wallace, also a Democrat.
The real racist.
Yeah. And then, you know, she just goes on and on to talk about how great it was. She claims that the citizens of Birmingham, both black and white, didn't support segregation or Bull Connor. She compares the Southern Dixiecrats who were against segregation to Karl Marx and the Weather Underground.
Jesus.
She.
Mercy.
And she talks about how the Thurgood Marshall getting school segregation struck down by the Supreme Court was one of the greatest things to ever happen to America.
Did she ever go to a fucking public school?
If she did, dude, it was in Connecticut in the 1970s.
Yeah. I can't stand that bitch. But listen, this MLK thing really fucking triggers me. That nigger gets me so fucking angry. My kids come home. I have to hear, hey, Pops, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, and all this. I'm like, this fucking guy's a predator, a fraud, a slick-talking fucking shyster who somehow scammed his way to the top off the backs of these fucking Jews. Yeah. And my kids come home, and then I get this article in my face, and I get people who's supposed to represent the right telling me, I don't oppose his statue, though. You know, he's a great speaker. He was just a communist. I'm so fucking tired of this.
Well, he's an 80 IQ communist who never wrote a single word of any of his college papers or his speeches. He stole them all from other speakers and writers.
Yeah, he's a slick-talking fucking, you know, shucks, the shell game kind of motherfucker.
The university that gave him his doctorate acknowledged back in the 80s that it was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he stole every word of his dissertation or whatever you call it to get your doctorate from this other student at the school. And he is perhaps the only person in the history of American universities who has been found to have cheated on every single thing he did, to have done none of his work, who was allowed to keep his doctorate.
And it's a fucking hate crime not to call him doctor.
Yeah.
You better fucking call him doctor, though.
Well, he's Dr. Pussy Eater. He's such a piece of
shit. Yeah, Dr. fucking Pussy. Dr. Pussy Eater. Yeah.
Dude, like, a couple years ago, I live in King County, and the symbol of the county used to be, like, a crown. It was named after, like, some, I don't know, some probably slave owner or something like that. Some dude who was like a large property owner.
Right.
And they changed it to Martin Luther King County. So now all the vehicles, everything, it's got that ugly fucking monkey's face on it. Everywhere you go, I see Martin Luther King.
I guarantee if he didn't die, he would have brought shame to himself at some point and been discredited. Yeah. It would have only been a matter of time. I guarantee it. And that's the fucking moronic part of this.
What's the demographic percentage of Negroes in Kang County?
Kang County. I don't know. I can find out real quick.
It's got to be low. I mean, I watched Twin Peaks back when it came out. There ain't no blacks in Washington.
Well, that area, I mean, was it supposed to take place in Washington? I know it was filmed here in up in the mountains there.
Yeah, there's an actual city called Twin Peaks, and that's where. Yeah.
No, it was filmed in Rosslyn, but it's a nice area, but it's being destroyed by development.
Yeah. Well, that's what was going on in the series, too.
I didn't watch the original. I watched the third season, I guess.
Going back and watching it again now, I'm like, you know, I'm not near as entertained by it now, because like you can catch full episodes of it on YouTube and stuff, and I've gone back and watched it, and I was like, wow, you know, that pot I was smoking back then really made this better. But it was Washington, but the first season of it is the one you'd want to watch if you're going to watch any of them. But yeah, what are you, like 3% black or something?
I'm on citydata.com. I'm looking for it.
Oh, Wikipedia is the easiest place to find that stuff. But yeah, it's like people just falling all. Everything's got to be named after Martin Luther King. Okay, it's according to the 2010 United States Census. Is 69.5% non-Hispanic white, 13.8% Asian, black or Hispanic, 7.9%, black or African American, 7.9%.
It's pretty high.
What, for everything to be named after a black?
Oh, man.
Seattle's population historically has been predominantly white, it says. So I guess that's as good a reason as anything to just basically change your history by telling everybody in the world that the county's actually named after Martin Luther King.
Yeah, well, I mean, only white people would do that. If it was a predominantly black area, it'd be like DMX County or something.
Yeah. Tupac.
Yeah.
Real nigga street.
Yeah, DMX County, and the county seat be Tupac City.
Be that white women county.
Where they at? They here, they right here. Oh, my God. Well.
What a time to be alive, huh?
Yeah, no shit, man. But like,
is that like a Chinese curse? May you live in interesting times?
It's some kind of a curse. I don't know if it's Chinese. It's probably on Star Trek. They've called it a Klingon curse. Or a Romulan curse. This whole revisionist history thing is crazy. You know, even when they release this audio of King, do you guys think it's going to make any difference? Do you think the people who worship King or the things that have been named after him that they're going to do?
He's going to be taken down. That's for sure. Yeah, it's only a matter of time now. I don't know. I'm 100% sure about that. The Me Too is powerful. Yeah. And, you know, that thing's pretty powerful, and we've seen that at Trump's blacks now, but, for the time being, so.
I don't know.
I mean, people have, like, a religious devotion to him. He is the secular god of America.
Yeah, it's going to be slow. They'll slowly stop pushing him, and then they'll transition to being quiet about him, then to a little trashing him, and then eventually, no. Maybe 50 years from now, they'll get rid of his shit. You know?
Well.
It's going to be slow.
Apparently, the country's going to be a lot blacker by then, because now we've got giant crowds of Africans crossing the Rio Grande. You guys see this?
Yeah, the mudslide.
Yeah, this is from the American Mirror.
Africans.
A group of illegals from Angola, Cameroon, and Congo waded across the Rio Grande River and into the United States. Video from Customs and Border Protection shows. The video shows male and female adults wading through the water and into Texas, several with children on their shoulders. The attempted invasion occurred on Thursday, according to the agency. The river, or natural barrier, was so shallow, the surface didn't reach the adults' waists. The White House tweeted additional video. According to CBP, it's the first large group from Africa to try to breach the U.S. border via Mexico. Here's the tweet from the White House. Last night, U.S. Border Patrol agents apprehended more than 100 illegal aliens from Congo, Angola, and Cameroon near the U.S.-Mexico border. Our southern border is now a magnet for illegal immigration from all over the world. It's time for Democrats to help close the loopholes. According to CBP, it's the first large group from Africa to try to breach the U.S. border via Mexico. Well, all that means is this is the first large group of them that they've caught or that have been caught on video.
Yeah, that's not even true. I remember this going on since fucking like the aughts.
Yeah.
You know, they got
How is this not a terrorism issue? That's pretty easy for the boomers to bring up the terrorism thing. I mean, can't fucking Al Qaeda, whatever, come through the border that way?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
well, they focused on that a little bit immediately after 9/11, but they forgot about it, apparently.
You know, we needed some white supremacists from like Eastern Europe to sneak through the border.
Well, you know,
some boomers.
I'm glad
some white boomers with guns down there.
I'm glad that you brought up 9/11, because 9/11 really pisses me off, because 9/11 should have absolutely been a reset of everything, of the way we were doing everything, as far as who we were letting in here, you know, whether it was just for traveling. It should have been a reset on how we handle immigration. It should have been a reset on how we handle border security.
It seemed like it was going to be.
For about 3 days.
Right, yeah.
But the thing is, our leadership, that was the last thing they wanted. You know, the Bush administration, the very first thing they did, I mean, right out of the gates, was like, now we can't blame the Muslim community for this. You know,
it's a religion of peace.
Right.
It's just those people who have, those Islamo-fascists who have distorted Muhammad's, you know, peaceful religion.
Yeah. And within a matter of like 3 or 4 days, they had this like interfaith giant rally, you know, just as quick as they could be within a mile or so of the thing, and like all the melted magma of the buildings wasn't too hot to run them off from it. They had this giant deal that Bush spoke at and all the politicians spoke at, and the majority of the time was spent with all these weird religious sects that don't represent the United States at all. You know, you had several Muslim preachers do the call to prayer and give their speeches, and you had a Sikh come out there and do all this bullshit that they do. You know, you had some fucking Hindu come out there. You had several rabbis speak at it, and like maybe one priest and one Protestant minister. And then, you know, they just spent the rest of the time falling all over themselves. And before we even got the machinery cranked up and we were off attacking the wrong countries or whatever, you know, starting the big wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, we had already increased, Bush increased Muslim immigration. And that is a tactical move to make sure that you can never stop this shit, that you can do it. They were doing everything they could to make sure that these people had so infiltrated our society that we would hopefully never be able to do some kind of a culling where we're like, okay, here's us, you're them. We're putting you in this bunch. You're all going back. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For whatever reason, the ruling elite said we have to have Muslims, tons of them.
Yeah, you got to have fucking Muslims checking you out at the TSA. You know, all this. Fuck, I lost my train of thought.
Well, it's that. Yeah, but you're absolutely right, and it's nuts how it all works that way. You go through the TSA, and you got all these Muslims looking you up and down and treating you like shit and acting like, you know, the old white granny. We got to dump her out of her wheelchair because we think she might be hiding a bomb in her Depends diaper.
That's right. That's you what know? I was going to get at. We don't know. We can't profile. We don't know what a terrorist looks like. So this became like the Muslim tax.
And the other
thing, everybody has to get treated like a fucking terrorist.
All your Border Patrol agents have to be dark brown Mexicans who can barely speak English. What's up with this shit? And they're not allowed to do any profiling either. I know I beat this shit to death, but it's just emblematic of the way we do everything here. I mean, this is your country on Jews. We have inland checkpoints that are going east and west. There's not even any like illegal alien trafficking going on these things. The illegal trafficking is on north-south roads, and they'll stop all the traffic on the interstate for weeks and months at a time before they move one of these to another interstate up to 50 or 100 miles inland, and every single vehicle has to stop, and no matter what you look like or how American you are or whatever, some beaner walks up to your car and says, "Do American citizen?" And if you don't like it and you give them some shit, like, hey, this is America, I don't have to answer fucking questions, and I don't appreciate this ridiculous checkpoint that I had to wait an hour to get up here, and then I have to answer, you know, I'm a white guy born in America, fucking 7th, 8th, 9th generation American, and I have to answer to some fucker with a thick Mexican accent whether or not I'm an American citizen. Just to be let through. And they acknowledge that a fucking van full of illegals can come driving through. And if they can't even speak English, these Border Patrol agents will ask them in Spanish, "Yo American citizen?" And they're like, "Sí, sí, mi mucho americano." And they're like, "Okay, go ahead." As long as you say yes, they say, "Go ahead." But if you give them any shit at all about, "Why are you asking me this?" I mean, they'll tase your ass.
You must be illegal.
Yeah, you.
If you are a legal alien, we're just asking because if you are, we got a work permit for you.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing is when they. I don't know exactly what the policy is right now, but there was a lot of conflicting shit coming out when they first. You know, when they first started doing these things, it was back like during the Ron Paul era, when Ron Paul was like the biggest fringe candidate, and you had this libertarian movement rising, and Stossel had a show on Fox and all that, and they would send people out to interview, and they'd be like, well, what if they say yes, we're illegal aliens? Well, we take that down. We take down the information, and we let them. We send them on their way. You know, it's like, what the fuck? You know, and yeah. And then like they would contact either the CBP, some spokesperson at the CBP, or you know, some spokesperson at ICE, and they'd be like, no, that's not what they do with them. I'm like, oh yeah, that's not what they do with them. That's what the people who are doing it said they do with them.
You know, like if you were to describe the circumstances, like, okay, you got foreigners setting up checkpoints in your country, like asking you questions and threatening you with violence. If you just describe the circumstances, people would think that you'd like lost a war, that like you were being occupied.
Well, we have and we are. We absolutely have and we are. We've lost it because we won't fight it. I mean, we're still at a point where if we as a nation decided, you know, hey, we're at war and it's time to do something about it. We have everything we need to just close down that border and run all these people out of here. But you can't get enough consensus on the shit. Well, actually, you can. You can get a shitload of consensus on it. You can elect a president to do it, who has his own party in control of the House and the Senate, and somehow the shit still doesn't happen.
Right.
It's almost like there are forces that don't want it to happen. It's almost like there's a conspiracy.
Weird. You think so, Goy? Oh.
Crazy talk.
Yeah, this is a conspiracy theory, and it's a good thing we're not doing conspiracy theories on the live stream, because YouTube doesn't allow these harebrained conspiracy theories. Well, anyway, guys, we're bumping up on the 1 hour mark. So, let's do some plugs and go to break. And we'll be back after the break, probably without White Tuber, because he has a live stream to get ready for. We're going to have to work on the scheduling or something.
Yeah, this is some fucked up timing we got here.
Yeah, man. Somebody's going to have to change something.
Fuck, man.
But anyway.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. If you're a young American white male of good character who is 18 years of age or older, and you'd like to do some pro-white, pro-American activism, you should consider Stormer Book Club. For more information on Stormer Book Clubs, email stormerbookclubs@airmail.cc. Got some great American nationalists, good patriotic guys there waiting for your email. White Wednesday happens again this week, the same day and time. It happens every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. And that is on the Asmodor YouTube channel, the link for which is in the description of this show. White Talk happens every Sunday at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific. Is that correct, Mr. White Tuber?
Yes, sir.
And that happens on the YouTube channel, Mr. White Tuber. So subscribe to Mr. White Tuber's channel. Click that bell and set those reminders. And WhiteTuber has been putting out some pretty good videos lately, too. He put one out the other day about the racist museums, how racist the museums are. Yeah, oh, it's bad. People should go check it out. I mean, they had security guards there and shit, so it's totally
racist.
They
were patrolling.
Right.
And shit, yeah. Right.
So it was totally racist. But check that out. There, if you enjoyed the content of our show, of the Crypto Report, there are two cryptocurrency addresses in the description, one for Bitcoin, one for Monero. Please feel free to contribute to the show. We don't get things like, we're not allowed PayPal. We're not allowed to do Patreon or any of the fundraising platforms. We're not allowed to get Super Chats on YouTube. So the only way that you can support the show at this time is to use one of those cryptocurrency addresses. So if you're able to do that, and you can, and you do, you will, we certainly appreciate it. If you're not able...
Maybe a shout-out, too.
Yeah, maybe a shout-out. If you're not able, if you're on a fixed income, or you're a NEET who can't even afford attendees, or whatever it is, then we totally understand, and we're happy to put the show out for free for you to hear it. And the show is free, and you know what else is free? Whatever social media you're on, please share the show on your social media. Let's get the message out there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Crypto Report. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello and welcome to Literacy Weekly, brought to you by your local Stormer Book Club. This week's passage is from The Secret Behind Communism by the former Congressman Dr. David Duke. We begin on page 12. The revolution occurred in Russia, and although a percentage of Russians participate in it, it was not a Russian revolution. It was led by an alienated, non-Russian, Jewish ethnic minority that hated Russia, Russians, and the Tsar for their alleged anti-Semitism. Their fellow tribalists around the world financed, and their shock troops executed the brutal takeover of the Russian government. Upon achieving total power, their deep, psychopathic, racist hatred became manifest in the greatest human slaughter of all time. Any historian who has studied modern communism from its ideological origins in Karl Marx and Moses Hess, through the mass dispossession, forced starvations, and gulags of the 20th century, is aware that communists are the real world champions of mass murder. There is no historical dispute that communist regimes killed many times more innocents than any other government in history, including Hitler's Germany. But unlike thousands of even lowly soldiers of Germany, the Red Terror murderers of millions have not been hunted down across the face of the earth. They have not faced trial for their horrific crimes against humanity. Perhaps even more importantly, they have never faced the court of popular revulsion. Why? It is because these communist perpetrators have been shielded by their tribal brethren, who now identify with Zionism, who have an inordinate influence on media, academia, and governments. The deaths in just one of the many communist killing fields totaled 5 to 8 million. Men, women, and children of the Ukraine were starved, killed, imprisoned, and worked to death in what is called the Holodomor. It is a death toll equal to or even greater than the numbers in what now is called the Holocaust. The truth about the Jewish supremacist role in the creation, execution, and maintenance of world communism, and the Russian Revolution in particular, remains little known. The reason for this is simple. The Jewish supremacist tribalists who influence major media in the West make sure that almost nothing is said about the fact that Jews, along with organized Jewish support worldwide, not only created communism, but were the leaders who brought it into such grim reality. They were at the nexus of the greatest slaughter and mass human suffering in history. We cannot know with certainty the number of deaths Cheka was responsible for in its various manifestations, but the number is surely at least 20 million, including victims of the forced collectivization, the hunger, large purges, expulsions, banishments, executions, and mass death at gulags. Genrikh Yagoda was the greatest Jewish murderer of the 20th century. The GPU's deputy commander and the founder and commander of the NKVD, Yagoda diligently implemented Stalin's collectivization orders and is responsible for the deaths of at least 10 million people. His Jewish deputies established and managed the Gulag system. Yet this Jewish genocidal murderer, who ironically has an identical mustache to Hitler, and who murdered double the number of people that are alleged against Hitler, is completely unknown. Not one person in 1,000 would be able to identify Yagoda's very distinctive name, much less associate it with mass murder. Why does the media tell us that we should never forget the Jewish Holocaust? But in regard to the much bigger Bolshevik Holocaust, the message is, never remember. Okay, that was from The Secret Behind Communism. Thanks, dude.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
All right, welcome back. We're back for the second half, and it's just myself and Hate Farmer.
Hello.
And as we said at the beginning of the show, Hate Farmer is angry. And it turns out that Hate Farmer's anger is mainly due to front holes. And Hate Farmer wants to have a rant about front holes, so I figured we could go ahead and talk about a couple of front hole stories, and then Hate Farmer can just seg into whatever his rant is. Here's a little story from Daily Stormer by Pomodoro Quixote. The title is, Wife tells husband of 15 years that she never wants to have sex again, then masturbates in his presence. So a woman has asked Reddit's Am I the Asshole community if she's an asshole for telling her husband she never wants to have sex again 15 years deep into marriage. The post reads, My husband and I have been married for about 15 years, dating for much longer. He's my soulmate, and I can't imagine being with anyone other than him. He feels the same way. I've never really enjoyed sex that much. But my husband has an incredibly high sex drive, so we used to have sex every other day. I've had sex with many partners, upwards of 30, in both relationships and hookups, and I've just never really enjoyed it. It's inevitable that you're going to ask, but yes, they can make me orgasm. I just don't like orgasming with a partner versus orgasming with myself. It just doesn't feel good to me. Weird, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
Selfish. The bitch is maybe, selfish.
Yeah, maybe she's also had some sexual trauma or something.
Maybe she's
not disclosing.
Maybe she's a closet lickalotopus.
I like to eat my girlfriend's pussy.
Yeah, I like having an orgasm by masturbating, but I'd rather be eating my girlfriend's pussy. there's something about sex I just don't really like. Please don't say I need therapy. It's insulting to think that everybody must love sex. Nah, it's not.
It's not insulting, no.
I've also been to therapy before. And we've come to the conclusion it's mostly just a preference. I also know, now one thing you have to remember when you're reading these things that women like is that 100% of the time they're going to be lying about several things.
Yeah.
And like you don't know that that's the conclusion that, quote, we, unquote, came to. That's maybe the conclusion the woman came to, or it's the conclusion she wants you to hear. And you don't know how much she's not telling you either. But anyway, there's something about sex that I just don't really like. Please don't say that I need therapy. It's insulting to think that everybody must love sex. I've also been to therapy before, and we've come to the conclusion it's mostly just a preference. I also don't identify as asexual, though, because I do get horny and love masturbating. But I find it more of a release, if that makes sense, ? It's more of an intimate moment with myself. I can try and explain more in the comments if this doesn't really make sense, but it's more a non-sexual release and enjoyment of exploring my own body. As we've gotten older with kids, we've stopped having sex as frequently, 2 to 3 times a month at most. He knows I've never been a huge fan of sex. Wow. What a great bit of knowledge for, you know, the guy who you took a vow to have sex with, and he took a vow to have sex with nobody but you. What a wonderful thing for him to know. I'm sure she points that out to him all the fucking time.
That's kind of going to be my thesis about women is you got to be real, real careful about the people you choose to associate with, your friends and your partners.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the single greatest factor about your quality of life is the people you choose to surround yourself with.
Yeah. But I've recently told him that I want to stop having sex. I find it more a chore, and I don't really gain much pleasure from it. Yeah, well, so what? You know, mopping the fucking kitchen floor is another chore a wife is supposed to do, and you don't get pleasure from that either. And you ought to be doing it every day. So same thing. He was so hurt and upset saying that I'm going to trap him in a loveless and sexless marriage. Well,
indeed.
Yeah. I told him that if he really wanted to have sex with other people, he could have sex with other women. I just wouldn't want to know about it. He was so upset and said that I was the only woman he wants to have sex with and that he could never imagine having sex with somebody else. A couple days ago, he caught me masturbating, something I do once a day. And he was even more hurt. He said, "How come you get horny, but you don't want to have sex with me?" I tried explaining why I typed above, but he got even more hurt. We really love each other. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And have an amazing relationship aside from this. But he thinks I'm an asshole for making an executive decision about our sex life and trapping him in a lifetime without sex. So am I the asshole for having a preference? Now, let me make a point here where she says, we really love each other and have an amazing relationship aside from this. I guarantee you she's the only one in that relationship who feels that way, because I can't even remember where I heard this, but it's absolutely true. The thing about in any relationship, the thing about sex is that it's absolutely no big deal unless you ain't getting it. And then it's the biggest fucking deal on earth. Right. But anyway, she gives a TLDR and then she says, edit, everyone seems to think my husband is going to divorce me over this. We've discussed it and divorce isn't even something he's considering. Redactors are so quick to pull the divorce card when in reality there are so many other aspects to a healthy relationship that can't be explained in 3,000 characters. Our marriage is strong, supportive, and loving in many other ways. I don't feel like we need to have sex to still love each other. Well, that's all bullshit.
Right. That's there are all many other bullshit. Things to a relationship, such as the fact that he supports me. So
yeah. Yeah, he listens to my shit. And one of the people who responded to her actually brought up the listens to my shit things. Like, well, okay. Oh, it's actually the first one. Here's a response under YTA, you're the asshole. Flip this into something else. Your husband comes to you one day and says, actually, honey, I've never really enjoyed talking to you. I love you, but talking to you is just a chore. I've decided that we will continue our marriage in all aspects, but I'm not going to talk to you anymore. We will still hug and have sex and watch movies together and text memes to each other. All the other things that are fundamental to a marriage. But no more talking, because surely you would not say that merely talking is the only thing that defines a marriage. Would this revelation be a big-ass fucking betrayal and disappointment that you wish he had told you 15 years ago? Would you force him to be reduced to a payphone chat call center person? If it's not part of your idea of what a marriage is, that's absolutely fine. But this may be the end of your marriage. Going forward, you might struggle to find someone who wants to share their life and love with you, but who is asexual or shares your idea of what marriage is. But anyway, that, you know, there's a lot of responses to that. But you say this is somehow related to what you were going to talk about?
Yeah. Look, I know there are lots of people out there that are looking for their fucking based waifu, or, you know, they're looking for true love or whatever. But that shit don't reel. All right. You know, like, I'm sure there are some.
It does not.
No. I mean, maybe there are some lucky people out there, but, you know, they're lucky for a reason, because this shit doesn't really happen. Women have the power to absolutely destroy your life. Now, my life hasn't been completely destroyed, but it came pretty close. And, you know, if you got kids with this woman, you got to deal with them for the rest of your kids' fucking lives, or at least until they become adults. You know, and you gotta pay real close attention to those signals. Like, if something doesn't seem right to you in the beginning, you know, before you make the plunge, listen to your gut. You know, don't give in to family pressure. Like, oh, you've been dating for so long, maybe you should get married because that's just what you do. No, don't get fucking married. Just don't get fucking married. And if you have kids, I don't know what to say. I mean, we gotta have kids. I fully support that. But marriage is fake and gay now, and it's just a pipeline to divorce, and that's just, you know, that just keeps the lawyers fed.
Yeah, and they've got everything set up to where one way or the other you're fucked. Yeah. Because, like, I assume it's this basically the same in most, if not all, states. But like in Texas, if you just cohabit with a woman for a certain amount of time, but especially if you have kids with them, the state calls it common law, whether you agree to that or not. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, you've been with some woman for 5 years and had a kid or two with her, but you never married her because you're like, you know, I want to be able to, you know, I mean, I'm going to be here for my kids or whatever. I always want contact with my kids. But if this woman turns into the same fucking bitch that I've seen every other woman turn into after so long in a relationship with me or any other man that I know, then I want to be able to jet. Well, you can't jet because you're married, mm-hmm. whether you wanted to be or not.
Yeah, it's all about the woman's choice, right? It's all about her choice to, like, murder your kid. It's her choice to fucking, like, murder your future. Women are just incredibly selfish, stupid, self-indulgent, like, retarded animals. It's almost inconceivable that you would put your life in their hands.
You know,
the whole system is engineered to give them the advantage. You know, like if you get a divorce, a woman doesn't have to fucking pay for an attorney. They've got NGOs and nonprofit organizations that'll just fucking hook them up with an attorney. And then what they tell them is like, oh, did he like psychologically abuse you in any sort of way? Did he like ever do anything harmful to you? Did he ever like ask you to do something you didn't want to do? Like, I don't know, fucking clean up the house. You know, that's psychological torture, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but, to the younger listeners, you gotta be really fucking careful, man. Don't compromise with friendships too, but, especially with women, someone that you're going to share your life with or share your home with, don't compromise. You know, if it means, I don't know, if you gotta like bang thoughts for a while just to, you know, satisfy the urge, do that, but
get hookers,
you know. Yeah. Yeah, prostitution should be legal.
That's
sex robots.
Unless it's a hooker who's trying to rip you off, transaction that you'll have with a hooker for however long that lasts will be the only 100% honest relationship with a woman that you will ever have.
Right.
Because I got news for you guys out there that don't already know this. Of course, our audience is very red-pilled, but it's one of the most heartbreaking things that a person ever realizes, if they realize it all at once. You know, and most people don't. Most men, you know, some of them have, male figures in their lives who will teach them this stuff. And some of them will realize it slowly over time, but a lot of guys, you know, it'll take a lot of experience with this shit happening over and over again when suddenly it hits them like a freight train. And it's that there ain't no woman out there who loves you for you. There's not a fucking one. Now, there never has been a fucking one. There never will be a fucking one. They love you or whatever the fuck it is because of what you can do for them. That's what it really boils down to. There's no aspect of, I mean, you know, maybe when she's 14 or 15 years old, but still, it's not really about you. It's not like she knows you and loves you and all that. It's whatever status. And the other thing is, and this basically goes both ways, but it really, really goes for the woman because, you know, once a man will get with a woman and decide, you know, I'm into this woman, and he can be like, you know, I'm good with this, and he could be good with that forever. But the woman will always be with you only because there's not a better option. That there's always this calculation in their mind that at this time you're the best she can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a very fucking mercenary thing, and it's largely due to evolution. It's not anything you can blame them for. It's just the way they are. You know, it's like saying it's like trying to blame blacks for being violent and stupid. You know, it's not their fault. It's evolution, but it's how it is, and you have to understand it for what it is. And that's not to say that, you know, you shouldn't try to, like, have a relationship with a woman, or there's nothing good about a relationship with a woman. That's not true. That it can be a very enjoyable thing, you know, the company of a woman and all that. But God damn, does it have its downsides. And the downsides are almost completely overwhelm any good side, any upside that there is to it. Because of the way that 100% of the power about every single fucking thing that is remotely involved in a male-female relationship has been handed over to women. It's this weird, completely artificial, legal, and social construct that has happened in the 20th century, mostly in the second half of the 20th century. They have complete control over who has sex and how often. They have complete control over who gets to reproduce and when and how often. They have complete control over every aspect of it. They have control over your fucking freedom. At any moment, they want to have control over it. Anytime you piss them off enough to throw them into a fucking rage, there are armed men, a 911 call away, who will come and drag you out of your fucking house and throw you in a cage full of niggers.
Yeah. And there's no such thing as presumption of innocence when it comes to, like, domestic violence. When right. it comes to fucking women, the women it's got to be believed, and you have to prove that it wasn't so. And even if you do manage to prove that it wasn't so, you're still out, like, you know, you lost time off work, you lost money. All your friends and acquaintances are going to be wondering, well, did he really do it, or did he just, like, you know, finagle his way out of it? Yeah. All the upsides are with the women. All the downsides are with the man. You know, and like you said, this concept of romantic relationships is only like 150 years old. It's a product of there is this chivalry, like, renaissance and
the
literature.
Bards and all that. Yeah,
yeah, that shit's not real. You know, and men have, like, bought this product, you know, this feel-good product about, you know, I have my soulmate, you know, like, I'm not complete until I find a woman, you know. It's fucking bullshit. Well, you know, and, like, no one wants to be lonely, and I'm not saying you should be lonely, but don't fool yourself. You know, women, being in a relationship is a transactional, ongoing transaction, and you have to keep the woman afraid that you will leave her and find someone better, because that's what she's thinking about doing. Yeah. She has to think that you can find someone better. So,
And I got news for you. 100% of these women, no matter how good the relationship is going or whatever, they already have the next guy picked out in case it ends tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They already got the next. Unless you were out actively cheating and you left your woman to go be with another woman, which with men, in my experience, that's doesn't happen very often. It's almost always the other way around. And there's usually months, if not years, of subterfuges that happen beforehand. I'm not saying that men don't cheat on their women, but I'm saying generally it's like a spontaneous thing that happens. It might happen for a while or whatever, but it's not like it's portrayed in popular media and on all the fucking Jerry Springer and all that shit. It's generally women who are in relationships that are doing that. But unless it's the rare situation where the man cheated and decided to leave the woman, or even if he didn't cheat, he just got his eye on some other woman, and and he's like, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna leave you and go be with this woman. Other than in those situations, the woman is always in another relationship immediately, while the man is sitting around mourning the relationship and not knowing, you know, he didn't have anybody else that he was thinking about going to be with. He was thinking about being with this woman. He was trying to keep this fucking woman that he was with happy. That's all he was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get in these fucking relationships. There are so many of these women, the vast majority of them, they have this whole thing going. They got this whole program going where they can turn every fucking minute of your waking life into a quest to keep them happy. And you don't even know you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, this woman that I was in a relationship longer than any other relationship I was in. There was at some point in it, you know, she had like a moment of weakness, and you know, I had pretty much read her the riot act because she had done so much fucked up shit that I should have just split. And I was like, you know, any of this shit happens again, I am going to just split. And she knew I meant it. I'd had it up to here. And I was at the point where, even though I was saying, like, you know, any more of this shit and I may split, I was thinking about it, I may just split anyway. And, you know, she had this moment of weakness where she revealed to me that her mother had taught her that men were no good. I mean, that just explicitly, these fucking men are no good for anything except what you can get from them. So you get with whatever man you can use the most and you can get from them the most. And I think that's probably, you know, especially in the era of divorce, I think that's probably a fairly common thing that mothers explicitly teach their daughters. Because, like, you know, her mother was a boomer and had got divorced. Like the first generation of people in her family to get divorced. You know, the boomer generation was the first generation in most people's families' histories to get divorced. And, like, this woman, you know, she got divorced from this girl's mother when she was 5 or 6. And decades later, you know, she still has this relationship with the father. Not like she lives with him or that she has sex with him or anything. But that, you know, she's got the keys to his house and she, you know, gets things from him all the time and all this. I mean, into their fucking old as shit. And it's still like that. And, you know, she's using the shit out of him. And she, no telling how many guys she dated and used the shit out of him while she's using the shit out of this other guy. And yeah, teaching her daughter to do the same fucking thing.
I don't have any sisters, but my own mother. I love my mother, and I have a good relationship with her. But my own mother has done that. She's been divorced 3 times. And each time, she got a house out of the deal. She got alimony. She got, I mean, it was like almost like a business arrangement for her, you know? She, anyway, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, look at Jeff Bezos' fucking wife.
Oh, right. Yep.
I mean, all she ever did was she married Jeff Bezos back when he was trying to hawk some books out of stores in Seattle. She was smart enough to marry Jeff Bezos and stay married to him until he got caught cheating on her or whatever. And she ends up with $35 billion fucking dollars for that. That is one expensive piece of pussy, man. Mm. I mean, golly, you got to wonder what a sample of that's like. You know?
I've seen her. She's
I ain't talking about what she looks like. I mean, that's got to be one wild piece of tail to be worth that much. I mean, of course, I'm joking, but I mean, they just hand wrote, and you know, in the particular situation, I think it's kind of funny because it's Bezos, and I wish that she had gotten like 90% of the money and just put him out of business because he's such a toxic Jew, but. You know, as far as the man-woman thing goes, where the fuck, how does she get that? If she wanted to leave, she should just fucking leave. You know, why does she need $35 billion? And the answer is she doesn't. There was a story in the news over the weekend. She's giving it all away to fucking charity.
Well, not all of it, of course.
Well, I mean, she'll keep enough to keep herself in her high lifestyle and everything, but she's talking about, like, she's right away, she's given half of it away. She's already got it earmarked and given it away, and she's going to give away a bunch more. You know, this Jew built this massive financial pile of money that probably, if you stacked it up, would probably go to Mars. And so he cheats on his wife or whatever, and he has to give her $35 billion. She's like 3 times as rich as Trump now because she married some dude.
Yeah. You know, there's the other thing, too, is that women, a lot of men are being cucked by the state because women have the ability to just leave.
Yeah.
And not only are they getting support from the husband, but, you know, depending on the circumstances, they get set up by the state. You know, like, I don't know where to go with this. I mean, it's like a...
Oh, I know where to go with it because I've seen it 100 times. They get tired. They'll whether they're married or not, they're in a relationship with this guy and they have a kid or two with him. And a year or two into the relationship, they decide they're bored with this fucking guy. They want him out of their life. And so they split up. And the guy has to go and set up another, you know, go get some apartment or whatever. And the court says that he has to pay this outrageous child support. And she lives in the house that he bought and probably drives the vehicle that he bought for her. And he pays enough in child support that it basically, and in most states, alimony too, if they were married. And she sits at home and has some other dude come in there and live there and bang her in the house where that he bought, where his children are, and he has to pay for it all.
Yep. And some other dude, to the extent that he puts in the effort, is raising his kids. Yeah. And he has to fight for his right to see his own kids.
Right. Yeah, and they will put dudes, when these women are really pushing, especially if the woman is like accused of being an unfit parent and the husband tries to get custody of the kids, then the woman will make all these accusations and they'll do these massive investigations into the father of the children. And he'll have to go through a year or years of random drug tests and random... Yeah. Unscheduled visits to his house to see what's going on there. The women will make all these accusations.
Take his guns away,
all kinds of stuff. But just some random dude who's going to come in the house where her children live and bang her and live there and all that. Nobody's investigating that dude. I mean, it's a fucked up business, man. Because that's what it is. It's a business. It is a racket. Marriage is a fucking racket for women. Relationships are a fucking racket for women. And it's a terrible thing to try to get a grip on because nobody wants to be lonely and nobody wants to die childless. And to either not be lonely or to not die childless, you have to basically bare your neck to some fucking woman.
A buddy of mine, he got divorced. 3 months later, the woman was pregnant. The ex is pregnant, and she hooked up with. She's basically doing the same thing. She was tree branching, except she tree branched lower, and so now the kids are in a house. So this woman's a junkie and totally negligent, and you know CPS has been called on her several times, and you know like apparently in this state neglect is, you know like. You leave your kids in the car on a hot day, but it's not like feeding them junk food and not taking them to the doctor, not taking them to the dentist, not making sure they're wearing clean clothes, not making sure they go to school, that kind of shit.
Right.
So this dude has to suffer and just watch his kids live in this like ghetto crack den and let his kids be raised by some wigger piece of shit, you know,
right.
Who just smokes pot and plays video games all day. And it's, dude, it's driving him fucking crazy. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. That's terrible. I don't know what the answers are. I mean, I know what the answers are, you know, but I mean, I don't know what.
How we get there
or anything. The problem is these women have the vote and they not only have the vote, they have the culture. On their side because there's no equality. It's equality when equality is to their advantage. And when it's not to their advantage, it's I'm a lady. Right. You know, they've got all this fucking equality. They, you know, you have to have as many women working, at any workplace as you have men, and you know, you have to have women running your companies, and you have to have women in charge of, you know, in your government doing things, and like any type of government jobs, it's like all women, and unfortunately, mostly even POC women. But whenever they want something, that doesn't have any, when they want more than equality, suddenly it's a ladies and gentlemen thing. Like if you're on the bus or the subway and they want a seat, they'll start screeching about, aren't there any gentlemen here? You know, I mean, they'll be coming from their fucking job where they work with men and they're equals, but they can't stand and hold on to that strap with the men. No, they'll start screeching about somebody's got to give them a seat. When you go, when you, they can work and make more money than you. You ask them out on a date, buddy, you better not ask them to split that bill with you. You ain't getting none, and you ain't getting another date.
Right.
You know, and it's that way throughout society. And you know, just the shit like they're equal, except like they're allowed to physically assault you, and you're not allowed to even defend yourself. Because if you even defend yourself, you're attacking a lady. You're attacking a female. And you've got all these fucking cucked out dudes out there who are the same way about it. Who, you know, that, I mean, they cannot even be there. You know, it's not just the cops. You know, these fucking women, I remember one time, you know, and this was the same woman. And we went over to some friend's house. And all of a sudden, the female friend decided to get all uppity and started reading me the riot act about how I had been abusing this girl physically and shit. And I had never laid a fucking finger on her, dude. Never once. And she's sitting there with me. And I got all fucking pissed off. And I'm like, what the fuck have you been telling them? And she's like, I said, I've never laid a fucking finger on you. You tell the truth right now. And she had to admit, no, he's never laid a finger on me, never threatened to lay a finger on me. But when he gets mad, you get mad and you raise your voice and stuff, and I get really scared. And I'm like, yeah, you get so fucking scared, you get drunk and try to kick me in the balls and shit. You know? And it's like, you know, it's one of the worst things in our society that you can be accused of. You know, it's like, oh, you big 6'4" lummox beating that sweet little 5'3" thing, and you know, like, what kind of a beast are you and all this? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I have never, I mean, she certainly fucking deserves it, especially now. But I've never laid a fucking finger on her, never thought about it. And I guarantee you, if I had, I'd have gone straight to jail for it. She wouldn't have been one bit shy about calling the fucking 911 on me. And the funny thing was, this was one of the few women I ever met who had been in a relationship where she physically abused the man in it and went to jail for the shit. I mean, like, she was married for a very short time when she was young, and she fucked this dude up. She got mad at him about something and took a big, heavy, like, ceramic dinner plate and just flung it across the kitchen at him like a discus and hit him right in the face with it. Sent the dude to the hospital and shit. Went and had to go to jail for it.
And yeah, it never happens.
Yeah, and she and when she told me about it, she was like, can you believe what a fucking pussy he was to actually press charges on me? I'm a woman. And I was just like, yeah, okay, you know. Yeah.
The other thing, like when all this is going on, I've got, you know, I'm a very faithful dude, and I really love my girlfriend right now, and I told her she had to leave when I was recording the show because she wasn't going to like what I had to say.
Yeah.
But like, I've got all.
How
these
are you
going
to keep her from listening to this?
She doesn't like the misogyny, so she doesn't listen to it. She's okay. Actually a Crowder fan because he's such a polite guy. I've got all these ex girlfriends that are hitting me up on the Facebooks that are married with kids, you know? And it's like, how many, this is what women do to you, man. You know, they take the best years of your life. You think you're getting like a partner, and they're hitting up their old ex-boyfriends, you know, on Facebook to just like get a quick pump and dump.
Yeah. Give them one.
Well,
no, I'm kidding. I mean, that would be wrong.
As hateful as I am, you know, as much as I do hate women, I love the one I'm with. So
right,
and I'm an honest guy. I'm a faithful guy. But yeah. You know, that's why it bothers me so much that women get away with what they do, because there's no reciprocation. You know, there's no honesty. There's no devotion. There's no loyalty. And you know, when I started out young, like I wanted to, you know, like rebel against my parents by staying married and having a stable, you know, marriage and like raising my kids properly and all that stuff. Ended up getting a divorce exactly the same time. My kids were the same age that I was when my parents got a divorce.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it just doesn't pay, you know, it's only suckers that, you know, put faith in women.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was raised in a very traditional environment, you know, rural, conservative, fundamentalist, all that. And even though as a late teenager and young adult and all, I didn't live that way in most ways, I had that sensibility and I could already see what was going on with women. So like in my early adulthood, I was very based and I saw the women for what they were. They're bitches and whores. And that's all I thought of them as. And I didn't have any desire. I mean, I had a desire to get married and have children on it, but I didn't have any desire to do it with any of the fucking women that I knew. Right. And it just seemed like, you know, they'd all been ruined. They were all having sex with one dude to the next from the time they were a teenager. And, you know, most of them are running around with a kid or two, not necessarily even both of them by the same dude by the time they were 20, 21. And so I was pretty based about it, you know. When I could get the pussy, I'd get the pussy. But I didn't want them around. I didn't want to be having kids with them and all that stuff. And when I was 29, I went to prison. And I turned 30 in there a couple of months after I was in there. And I got really depressed. And I started thinking about all the mistakes I had made. And I was like, you know, if I'd have just done things the way that I was raised and taught to do things, then I wouldn't be here now. And my life would be a lot better. And I, you know, I was thinking about what a wreck my life was, being an alcoholic and a drug addict and all that stuff, being in and out of trouble all the time. And I thought, I'm not going to do it like this anymore. When I get out of here, I'm going to do things the way that I was raised and taught to do them. I get out here. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to do drugs anymore. I'm going to get whatever job I can get. I'm going to work my ass off at it. And I'm going to find me I'm going to go to church. I'm going to find me a decent woman. I'm going to marry her and have kids with her. And that's going to be that. And life is going to be good. And the whole plan was great, except for that last part. That last part wrecked the whole fucking thing. Because it wasn't a matter of anything that was in my power. It didn't matter how good my intentions were. It didn't matter how good the execution of my intentions were. Because the world had, and this is like 1997 that I got out, the world had already wrecked the whole fucking thing for everybody. Because these women had been given all the power and they'd had it for long enough that they consciously fucking realized it.
Yeah. You know, and this is why white men prefer Asian women, you know?
Yeah.
Or tacos if you're the taco waffle.
Right. But I mean, that's not going to help you either. Because, I mean, you know, the really woke people have known forever that what Eddie Murphy talked about way back in his delirious thing was true. He was talking about how bad the women here were and like how you know, the punchline to his whole thing was, I want half. You know, he said, you know, you marry some woman, whatever, and they decide they're tired of you and get divorced, they want half. That's what they, I want half, and they get half. And he's like, you know, so of course, him being black, he's like, so you get an African woman. You know, you think, oh, I'm going to get me an African woman. You know, I went over to Africa. I'm looking around. I think about an African woman. He says, but that's no good because you're going to bring them home and all these American bitches are going to start talking to him. He's like, he don't treat you right. You know what? You should leave him. You get half. And it's really true. I mean, this society empowers women over men to an extent that, I mean, to find a woman that you could get into a long-term relationship with her and not be on thin ice all the time as to whether she's going to leave you and wreck your life is like trying to find a unicorn.
Yeah.
And it did not used to be that way. You know, in the 50s, a young guy pretty much had the expectation that when he got out of high school, he was going to get a job, and most likely he was going to marry a girl from a few blocks over or whatever that he'd grown up with, and that she would be a virgin when he married her. Now, who has an expectation like that anymore?
Right. Even like if you're trying to find a Mormon chick or something, or like a Christian chick.
Oh, they're all whores now.
Dude, I got a blowjob from the youth minister's daughter in the choir room of this church I was going to. It's like you said, they're unicorns, man. It's just a show.
Yeah.
To find a chaste, virtuous, loyal woman is just not possible. Well, you got to take the world for what it is, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's one of the things that really wrecks it, is that they have to have been chaste and virtuous, and you got to get with them young, because, you know, all the psychological studies have proven, and for whatever reason, this doesn't really affect men, but it affects women to such a great degree. The more sexual partners they're with, the less it is possible for them to pair bond.
Mm-hmm.
And you got some woman that you get with, and she's 22 or 23 years old, and she's already been with 20, 30, or fuck, nowadays, who knows, 40, 50, 100 guys. There's no chance. There's no chance that this woman's going to marry you. And I mean, what do you have left to experience with her that she hasn't experienced over and over and over with so many fucking dudes before you? You're not special. You're not a bit fucking special.
No, she'll end up fucking, you'll be married for 15 years and your wife will masturbate next to you and refuse to have sex with you.
That's right. Because even though she's been with over 30 guys before she was with you, in both relationships and hookups, and even though she has orgasms, sex is really just a chore. This is all right. Very fucking depressing, but it's true. You know, I don't know what the hell to tell anybody. You know, they're really, other than changing society, there's really nothing that you can that you can do to try to. I mean, I guess you just, if you're not willing to be lonely and childless, you have to kind of just take the risk. But when you take that risk, you gotta have eyes in the back of your head, man.
Yeah. And you gotta kind of go on the offensive, you know, like I was saying. You gotta keep them wary. Don't let them get complacent. They all have to always fear that you'll move on or have the other women want.
You have to actually be willing to. That's the thing, is that.
Yeah.
It, you know, when the woman starts making it so that, I mean, you have to constantly have this graph in your head, and it's a hard thing to keep, but you have to do it. And this is a thing that I learned from hard, bad experience of not doing it. You have to have this graph in your head that is constantly measuring, how much does this relationship make your life better, and how much does it make it horrible?
Mm-hmm.
And once it is consistently makes your life bad more than it makes it good, you got to just, I mean, you got to have it within you to just fucking get up and leave, because it ain't going to get no better. Once it gets bad, it ain't going to get no better. I don't give a fuck about all this couples counseling and all that shit. I'll tell you what couples counseling is. Couples counseling is where you go to some fucking counselor, and the counselor browbeats the fucking man into thinking he's bad and he needs to put up with all the woman's shit. That's exactly what that is. It's a recipe for unhappiness. And I got to tell you, and, you know, this is it's a sad thing to say. And I'll preface it by saying, you know, I talk a lot of shit about, you know, banging women and this and that. Like, but it's joking around, and I've been pretty clear about that. I mean, I've been with my share of women and all, but I've never been some kind of Don Juan. And I've, most of the sexual relationships that I've been in were actual, like, relationships. And I got to say that they haven't been worth it. And I, you know, at the age of 52, and it's not that I don't still have a sex drive, still have a high sex drive and all that stuff. I'm not interested in these fucking women. I got no use for them, especially now that most of the ones who'd be interested in me are probably close to my own age. And, you know, what are they going to do for me? What the fuck do I want to move one of them in for? I mean, you know, you're not going to give me any children or anything. You're going to sit around and bitch about your aches and pains and your fucking hemorrhoids, and I'm going to have to buy you panty liners and shit because you pee on yourself. I'm going to have to listen to you. Fuck all that. Have to talk to you? No.
Right.
I mean, I would love, even at the age that I am, I'd love to find some young lady who's young enough to at least have a kid or two, and who would be at least marginally as good to me as I would be to them. But I have absolutely no logical reason to think that would ever happen, because young guys can't get that.
Well, it kind of leads into this other Daily Stormer article. Old women want people to call out men for dating younger women.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
In a recent showcase, recent article showcasing examples of old women hating younger women, a reader pointed out that one of Metro's editors, Ellen Scott, wants people to call out men for dating younger women. So this is a...
Well, of course, an old bitch wants to call out young women for dating older men, or old men for dating younger women, or whatever, because she's getting old and nobody wants to be with her.
Right. And when she was young, she was fucking everybody, right?
Right.
And now that she's old, she can't get the same chads, and so she's just butthurt about it.
Well, she says right there in the article, like, when she was a teenager, she was with some dude who was like 30, and it was awesome because he had his own apartment and he could buy her booze and do all, you know, he had money and could do all this shit. But now, looking back on it as an old hag who can't get somebody like that now, she realizes, oh, it was a horrible power imbalance and I didn't know what I was doing. It was totally wrong.
Right. All that makes an older guy seem very attractive to a teenager, feeling like they have little control over their life. It's an unfair advantage, instantly putting an older person in a deeply hot, trustworthy pedestal. Deeply hot, trustworthy pedestal.
What the fuck does that mean? A deeply hot, trustworthy pedestal.
She thought it was pretty hot when she was getting the dick.
Yeah. Well, when she was getting all the benefits, other than just the dick. Because she could have got the dick from a 20-year-old or from a, you know, if she was 14 or whatever, she could have got it from a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. She could have got all the dick she wanted. It's the other stuff, you know. Yeah. That's one of the things that's so ridiculous. When, you know, you hear guys who, like, they constantly brag about how well they can please women and stuff. They're like, oh, man, I'm so good in bed, man. I eat that pussy like blah, blah, blah. I make them come. I blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, you're making your whole fucking self-image about what you can do for women, what women think of you, and you're expecting everybody else to think that's some awesome shit that you do. And what you don't realize is, that ain't why she's with you. She's with you for some reason other than what you're doing. She's giving you what you're getting in bed for some reason that goes on outside that fucking bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a transaction. You said, the prostitute, you know, that's the only honest transaction that you can have.
And it may not even be money. It may be social status. It may be that, you know, they've got... I mean, it could be that you're a fucking sociopathic criminal. And that she's attracted to that. I mean, we know that shit's true. I mean, these fucking serial killers have women writing to him like crazy with offers of marriage and shit in jail. Charles Manson had, you know, 19, 20-year-old women begging him to fucking marry him and stuff and do the conjugal visits and that I think they still had in the California penal system till the day he fucking died. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to this shit. It's all other than that it's all evolutionary. It's all animal shit. That's why we had to develop the system that we've had for thousands of years now, where from the day she's born until the day she died, the woman was some fucking man's property. When she was born, she was the father's property until the man that was selected for her, she was married off to, and then she became that man's property. That's why the father, in marriage ceremonies, the father gives away the bride and the woman takes the man's name.
Yep. Coverture and all that.
Yeah. And that, you know, they didn't have all this choice and all these things. And we have decided, and this is just one of the many things. I mean, we've talked about some of it today, and we talk about all this stuff all the time. We have decided that all these things, that we have thousands of years of civilization and tradition, that we absolutely banned these things from our society, or we absolutely controlled these things. We have decided since the middle of the 20th century to just throw that shit all out, and we didn't even know why we were doing it, except that it fucking felt good to the people that wanted to get rid of it. Marriage, heterosexuality, morality of society, protection of children.
The nation.
The nation. All gone. Because some fucking Jews got a bunch of stupid ass singers and a bunch of people making movies and a bunch of talking heads on the news and a bunch of professors in college to say that there was never any reason for this shit, that it was all the oppression of evil white men and the systems that they had set up. And it was all made to benefit no one but us. And the fact of the matter is, these liberated women aren't happy.
No.
These liberated faggots aren't happy. And these liberated trannies aren't happy. And all these people who are liberated to chase whatever demon it is that makes them, they think makes them feel better, whether it's, you know, porn addiction or using drugs all the time or whatever, all these things that society completely fucking sanctions now, none of them are happy. Seems like maybe we had these traditions for a reason.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that you know, we could throw away something that's literally been true for all of human history, that has led us to this point, and then we decide, hey, you know, we're so enlightened, we're so developed, we don't need these things. We don't need, you know, we're adults now as humans. We're
The only explanation for it was current year. The only thing, we have destroyed the fucking nuclear family. The thing, the basis, the foundation of every great society that there ever was. When America was founded, the basic unit of this society was the family. And the man is the head of the family. But we don't have families anymore. We have fucking individuals. And these individuals are all so fucking individual that they're all equally unhappy, and they're all running around trying to find happiness out of degenerate sex, drug abuse, consumerism, whatever. Weird, wacky new religions or atheism, activist atheism. All these fucking pursuits that are leading us to nothing but a cultural, civilizational pile of bones. But hey, man, we respect the individual. And we respect the free market. We got principles.
Yeah, that's not who we are. The family and nationhood, that's not who we are. Those aren't our values.
Yeah, those things were evil, obviously. I mean, you start having healthy families with the man at the head of a household who provides for and protects the wife slash mother and the children, and that this is a smaller unit of a bigger thing that creates a nation and a society and all that good stuff that keeps the cycle going and keeps civilization advancing and provides a stable path forward for one generation to the next to continue to have families and to be able to get some happiness and some security out of that, which allows for a type of stability that the nation state and the race itself can advance in all kinds of ways, advance civically, advance culturally, advance spiritually, advance technologically. We don't need that shit. Somehow we can get rid of all those things that were the foundation of all that. And yet things are going to just keep getting better, even though we can look directly at the absolute halt in the advance of any of those things that I've been talking about, and they coincide directly with this rise of the individual and this anything goes, if it feels good, do it mentality. You can't cure cancer when you're trying to find the new special type of porn to whack off to 8 hours a day. You can't advance spiritually when you're smoking an ounce of pot a week. And it sure does wreck any kind of time that you have to advance anything personally or in society when everybody is constantly consumed with trying to find a fucking relationship that works and or dealing with the fallout of one they thought would work that didn't.
I think it's why, I mean, this is a cold take, but this is why people, you know, use drugs and divert themselves with consumption and you know, products and all that kind of stuff. It's because there used to be a reward for, like, putting in effort. There used to be a reward for doing things the right way. You know, society rewarded you with children and family and you know, good feels about accomplishments. And now, like, all that's taken away from you. You know, the only way to get a good feel is to, you know, get a dopamine hit on social media or to take a drug or to fucking stick something up your ass.
Well, absolutely. All these things are addictions. And the bottom line of what you're trying to do when you're feeding an addiction, when you're, whether you're talking drugs, perversions, consumerism, what it, you know, to an extreme or whatever it is that you've got this massive fucking void in your soul and you're grabbing at this shit and pulling it into yourself, trying to fill that void. And that void is never going to get filled. That void is just going to get bigger and hungrier. And that void that you as an individual have that you're trying to fill that way, there are millions and millions of other people in your society who are trying to fill that void, and your society has become void, and that void will never be filled either with all of this shit. That's the bottom line.
Wow. This has been very inspirational.
Well, I mean, you can't think about how to try to solve the problems without trying to wrap your head around what the problems are. And I think there are tons of people out there who may hear this that it never occurred to them what the problems really are, what the nature of these things are. Every battle that we're in right now is a spiritual battle. And everything that ails us in this world right now is spiritual. Is a spiritual dysfunction. Whether you're a religious person or not, there's no other word to describe it. You don't necessarily, I mean, you can agree with the word, with the term, without having to even have a belief in you know, any type of religion that has any supernatural aspect to it or not. There is something about the human condition that the best term for it is spiritual. And that's what is ill right now. And everything that we see, all the things that we point out, all the things that we talk about, all the things that we make fun of on this show and on all the other shows and everything, those are symptoms of the spiritual disease that is going to kill us if we don't stand up and oppose it.
Yeah. And the plague bearers, the one carrying this disease, are the Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, just to, you know, like, get that in there in case no one knew.
Right, right. Well, look. Go ahead.
I was just going to go on about why the Jews are responsible, but... Well, so they, you know, every society, every race, every culture has weaknesses. You know, they have an immune system that hasn't been inoculated to some kind of pathogen, and the Jews have learned how to exploit our weakness. And so I don't know if like our weakness could have been called a spiritual sickness, but they exploit it and they use one sickness. It's like comorbidity. You know, they allow their... I don't know what I'm fucking saying.
It's well, a podcast. Well, it's interesting when you look at organized Jewry, how the things they say that we must accept and we must enact and we must practice,
that they don't do themselves,
that they absolutely forbid their own people to do it.
Mm.
But we are over the 2-hour mark, and I think this has been. I don't necessarily think this has been a black pill, because I think we're talking about stuff that everybody knows. Everybody knows that there's something really, really wrong.
And yeah, it's not good, but I mean, if you understand what's happening and you're honest with yourself about it, then there's always the opportunity to make it better.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be honest with yourself about the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can avoid making some really big mistakes.
Yeah, you know, I hope if, you know, anybody is listening to this that's young enough, they have these choices in front of them that hopefully, maybe, they could learn from all the giant, enormous fuck-ups that I made in my life. And I don't know that they can or not. Some people say that the only way anybody learns is by fucking up themselves. But I don't know that that's true. But, you know, like I say, everybody knows that something's wrong. And they look around them and they see all the signs of it. But it's real easy to never be able to put your finger on what it is. And I have spent nearly 40 years of my life mostly fucking up and being just completely involved in the problem, being part of the problem, letting the spiritual disease ruin my life. And over the last 11 or 12 years or so, I've spent a lot of time trying to pull myself out of it. And during that time, I had a whole lot of time to think and observe and study, remember, and compare and contrast. And so I have a pretty good idea of what's wrong. I just wish I knew how to solve it. But anyhow... It's been 2 hours, and so we'll go ahead and close the show with the promise that this Wednesday's TKR, White Wednesday, will be a lot more upbeat than this. That's always a fun
show. Yeah, I mean, the live stream was kind of like this, too. We were talking about drugs and soul sickness, so
yeah,
I think we're getting kind of...
There were a lot more laughs.
Get back
though.
To the heinous Negroes.
Yeah, like, well, there was
up a little bit.
Well, I guess I generally do whatever I'm feeling at the time, and you know, a lot of the things that we talked about tonight, a lot of the stuff that I talked about, you know, it's not easy to talk about this stuff about, you know, how you let a woman do you this way, or you know, a lot of things we're saying, but nothing's going to get better if everybody just acts like they're above it all. Nobody's above it all. These things have happened to everybody. If you've been around long enough, these things have happened to everybody.
Yeah, and this isn't even like an alpha or beta thing.
No.
I'm stupendously attractive, and I consider myself an alpha, and this is, that doesn't change anything.
Right. And despite everything that I've said, if there are any hot young women out there who have emailed their selfies, especially of the naughty variety, you can send those to tkr@airmail.cc for my perusal. And but seriously, that's our email address. We've gotten several good emails this week. We didn't have time to go over any of them. May do that on the live stream. But if you have anything you want to reach out to the show about, that is the email address, tkr@airmail.cc. If you're a young white male of good character and you're interested in pro-white activism and self-improvement, StormerBookClubs@airmail.cc is who you need to be emailing to find out more about Stormer Book Clubs. White Wednesday is this Wednesday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. Was there anything else? I guess that's all of them. Oh,
yep.
Donate to the show. Bitcoin Monero in the description. We'll see you guys Wednesday.